أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال حبيب الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدين النصيحة. رواه مسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله عز وجل says in the Quran: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Allah starts in this surah by swearing by time, my dear brothers, time, wal asr. And he follows by saying, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that verily mankind is in loss. The use of the word إِنَّ in the Arabic language pertains to either the word indeed or verily, or something in English that we would say something that requires emphasis. And the importance of this emphasis is to remind us that when Allah starts with inna, that you pay attention to what's coming next. Allah's word just says, لَفِي خُسْرٍ, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that mankind is in loss. So they're in a perpetual state of loss in regards to what? وَالْأَصْرِ, in their time. So let us take heed in this message. As we all know, alhamdulillah, we reached 2025 of the Gregorian calendar. Alhamdulillah, we're in January now, coming 2-3 days in. But let me remind everyone, and let me remind myself first and foremost, that alhamdulillah, when it comes to the Hijri calendar, we're in 1446, we're in the month of Rajab, 7 months into the Hijri calendar. So if we were going to set any New Year's resolutions, it should have been done 7 months ago. So we're already in a state of loss. Time is a currency, not a commodity. It's not something you're going to get anything a lot of. There's 86,400 seconds in a day. And we let it waste just like that. That's our currency going second to second there. 5 seconds gone. If I were to give somebody £86,400, do you think they're going to lose a pound every day? No chance. So let's value our time more than we value our wealth and treat it like a source of wealth from Allah's wajah. The Prophet ﷺ said in Bukhari, to the nearest effect, there are two blessings that many people are deceived into losing. That is health and free time. This is corroborated in another hadith, which is probably more popular, that most people have heard, that the Messenger alayhi salam said, take advantage of 5 before 5, your youth before your old age, your health before your illness, your riches before your poverty, your free time before your work, and your life before your death. And alhamdulillah, we've all heard these hadith. We listen to them, we repeat them, we say them to each other. But have you ever looked into what the true meaning of these hadith is? Both times, the Messenger alayhi salam, he's taking advantage and emphasizing the need of time, my dear brothers. It's so important, and I can't stress it enough, that taking advantage of time before it's too late and we no longer have it anymore. Right now you're thinking over a lifespan, you have a couple of thousands of seconds. Sounds like a lot to begin with, but when that those last 10 seconds come, who's going to count backwards as to what happened? Allah Azza wa Jalla has told mankind that inherently we're at loss. Naturally, the state of mankind is they're in loss. They're always going to be at loss in regards to their time. You're never going to have enough time to do anything. And most people, if you ask them, why do you not come to the masjid? Oh, I don't have enough time. Did you get to see this, that, or the other? No, I didn't have enough time. I ran out of time. Time, we constantly chasing it rather than letting it chase us. We're either distracted with work, social media, TV, and we have the same 24 hours as anyone else. It's been 24 hours since the dawn of time, and it'll be the same for those who come after us. But the issue is that we use it incorrectly. So today, may Allah forgive me for my weak efforts. I'm just here to remind everyone, again, first and foremost myself, about the importance of time. So who better to look at than the Messenger, alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I repeat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every time I say it, brothers. He's the most perfect example. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنٌ, that He is the most best of example. لَقَدْ, most definitely, كَانَ لَكُمْ, is and always will be, فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, in your Messenger alayhi salam, the best example, the most excellent, from today to the يَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So let's look at how the Messenger alayhi salam would utilize his time. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you hear him talking about time, as in the first two hadith, when you hear him talking about time in the following hadith, you notice that this is a man who speaks from experience. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's not a single man amongst us, before or after, who will ever be more busy than the Messenger, alayhi salam. Not at all. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was first and foremost a prophet and messenger of Allah. That would be enough to take up a person's lifetime. But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was his community leader. He was a father. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a husband, a brother, a mentor. Any role you can think of, the Messenger, alayhi salam, encompassed it in some way, shape, or form. Yet he still made time. He continued to worship his Lord until the day he passed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jabir, radiyallahu anhu, ibn Abdullah, is one of the Ansar of Medina, a young companion of the Messenger, alayhi salam. He narrates to us about the Meccan period. So this is prior to him coming to Medina. That the Messenger, alayhi salam, spent 10 years visiting people in their dwellings, in their homes, in their tents during the time of Hajj, especially in Mina. And he would continue to ask people, who will assist me? Who will give me shelter so that I may convey the message of my Rabb and he will receive Jannah? And the hadith concludes with him, until Allah provided him the Ansar, but that's a story for another day, subhanAllah. During this time in the earliest revelation, Allah commanded the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to call and warn those closest to him, his family, his community, and then the rest of the people. As in the verse of the Quran, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Warn those who are closest to you, starting with your family. But not only that, Allah then told him, Surah Al-Mudathir, verse 2, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, get up and warn. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and remind of the greatness and glorify your Lord. So the Messenger alayhi salam was told to warn everyone around him. And that's a daytime effort. Nuh alayhi salam said he used to do it day and night. And he continued to warn people day and night, publicly and privately. But on top of all this, what does Allah azza wa jal tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Muzammil? Ya ayyuhal muzammil, kum illayla illa qalila, nisfahu awinkus minhu qalila, awzid alayhi wa rattilil qur'ana tartila. That despite all of this, at night time, most of us brothers and sisters think about it, and for those upstairs, you at night time after Isha, Salah, what do? You either go home, you watch TV and you fall asleep. We use the evening for rest. But no, the Messenger, alayhi salam, Allah commanded him, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ عَلَىٰ قَلِيلًا, stand up, not even sit down and pray. قُمِ اللَّيْلَ, stand up and pray. Recite the Qur'an and do it for at least a third of the night. So you think that you'd be asked to rest at night, but the Messenger, alayhi salam, was told, no, you stand up and you pray. And subhanAllah, as narrated later on by Aisha radiallahu anha, even to the day he died, the Messenger, alayhi salam, never gave up his tahajjud. He would sit and pray towards the end of the life, as mankind wore him down. But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say he would pray sitting down, but he'd pray even longer than when he stood up. And this was just so he could be a grateful slave to Allah azza wa jal, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was just a voluntary act. So imagine the obligations, how he valued his obligations and use of his time in regards to that. Having the ability to be a community leader, having the ability to be an imam. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stayed on top of his time and managed it well. That's why when you hear him say, value these two things, he's speaking from a place of experience. But I understand, with the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being used as the prime example, a lot of people feel that's something unattainable. And that's a fact. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the most perfect person who ever existed and who will ever exist. And he'll always be the best of examples for us to follow, but sometimes it can feel unattainable for people. So I'm going to take you to the people who followed him. His Sahaba, the people he mentored, his students. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, ibn Ummi Abd, one of the earliest Muslims, amongst the first 40 of Muslims. Some say he's even in the top six, radiallahu anhu. He said that he never regretted anything more than a day, that a day would pass and the sun would set and his good deeds haven't increased. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. He said, hold yourselves accountable before you are held accountable. The Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, my dear brothers, are those who we look to for guidance. They're like the stars and we just follow them and we'll follow them to their destination. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ, those, the forerunners, the people who came first, الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. These people who from the Muhajirin and the Ansar. So he mentioned Jabir from the Ansar earlier and Umar and Abdullah radiallahu anhuma from the Muhajirin. Allah says something very interesting, radiallahu anhum, that he is pleased with them. And remember, the Quran was revealed in their lifetime. These are a people who, while they were alive, Allah told them, I am pleased with you. SubhanAllah. Something we can only dream of, that inshallah when we stand in front of His Majesty, Azawajal, that we'll get His pleasure as well and His rida. But these people were told in their lifetime, and yet even then, think about it, if somebody told you, you're guaranteed Jannah, you just sit down, think that's it, alhamdulillah, I'll be guaranteed, I'm going to sit down and we'll do whatever I like. That's not the case. These people strove and they continued to fight with their nafs till the day they died. And they valued their time. And then even then, some people say, okay, that's the Sahaba, they had Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentoring them, so obviously they were going to be good. Right, let's take it to the next generation then, the tabi'in, the people who were the students of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. My ustad, rahimahullah, he loves to tell us a story about a man named Amr ibn Abd al-Qais. He was an ascetic, somebody a zahid, so he didn't really engage much with the world. And he was one of the early tabi'in. And when one of the students came up to him and said, can I ask you a question? He snapped at him and he said to him, can you stop the sun? In other words, can you hold the sun and stop time so that I don't lose anything when I respond to you? And a more popular name is Imam Abu Yusuf, Qadi Abu Yusuf, who was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa in the earlier days. Later on, he went on to become a judge, hence his name was Qadi. He had someone else do ghusl and bury his son when he passed away. And that sounds, it could be quite dramatic, thinking his son died and he didn't even take a break. Yes, exactly. He had a fear that he's going to miss the class of Imam Abu Hanifa in one of his lectures. And in doing that, he might miss some beneficial knowledge. These people valued their time. He understood that my son has died, he's a child, he's going to go to Jannah and I'll see him again. But he understood that if I miss Imam Abu Hanifa's class, that there might be some beneficial knowledge that I miss that could elevate my rank in the next world. So these guys planned their time around their knowledge, seeking knowledge, worshipping Allah. And now, subhanAllah, look, all these years later, nobody's going to remember my name, but we remember Qadi Abu Yusuf. We remember Amr ibn Abd al-Qais, rahimahullah. These people who understood that investing in their hereafter with their time was more beneficial than investing in what this world has to offer. I've only given you a fraction, as time is limited, of the best generations. وَخَيْرَ الْقُرُونِ كَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. So the first three generations. But I'm going to put this here just to put that emphasis on education. There's a book by Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghuda, rahimahullah. He's an imam of the past generation, called Value of Time. I highly recommend anybody who gets the chance to read it. If you guys are interested, just see me afterwards. I have a PDF copy I'm happy to share. And if you're still thinking I'm talking about the best generations, that's still unattainable. Let me remind you of that verse I recited earlier. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. So we all understood what that meant. The forerunners, the muhajirin and the ansar. But then afterwards Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. And those after them who follow them with excellence. So they're tabi'in. So even if you try to emulate these people in making that effort in good conduct, try to act on this amal, then maybe Allah will make us amongst them. May Allah make us amongst them. Ameen. So we're working in negative time. And as mankind, we're always in loss. But alhamdulillah, don't worry. I recited Surah Al-Asr, and Allah Azza wa Jal, with the Qur'an being the ever-given miracle, the third verse gives you the solution to all your problems with time. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except. So the illa here, there's an except. Those who believe and do good, amal al-salih, encourage one another to truth and encourage each other to stay patient, persevering. So now, moving forward from today, alhamdulillah, we're in a stretch of blessed months, Rajab, Sha'ban, and then Ramadan, inshallah. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. So how do we implement it moving forward? I'm going to give some practical steps so nobody feels like I've just doomed them and depressed them today. Imam Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi says about this period of the year, the example of the month of Rajab is like the wind, Sha'ban like the clouds, and Ramadan like the rain. So now is the time for us, we prepare our deeds for Ramadan. That's us sowing our seeds. Sha'ban, we begin to act upon them, implement them, become consistent in them. And by Ramadan, inshallah, when the rain actually falls, we'll be consistent and have a habit that we formed, making it easier to do in Ramadan. Because how many people make plans to get to Ramadan, I'm going to read 10 Qur'ans, I'm going to do this, what is zikr, and you just fall short, you burn out. And the reason for that is there's no preparation. Any person who has a skill, you see they put at least a minimum of 10,000 hours to become an expert at that skill. So why do we not give the same preference to our deeds? Now's the time to create a Ramadan diary. Write it down. Use a calendar, use your phone, use anything that's going to remind you to act upon these deeds. Recite the Quran fast, praying at night. And even then, I'll tell you how to implement it, inshallah. Again, first and foremost, reminding myself. We're still in the winter months, alhamdulillah. Fasting is easier, no doubt. What, 9-10 hours of sunlight? If you eat at 6 o'clock in the morning, the next time you eat again is 4 o'clock. Most people skip their lunch anyway, so alhamdulillah. Why don't you get some good deeds while you're starving yourself? And even if it's small, do the Monday and Thursday just to begin with. At least your body will start to develop that habit of fasting so that when Ramadan comes, you're more likely to prevent any illness, any lethargy that comes with it as well. Another practice is Fajr Salahs. Fajr Salah starts, I believe, 6:30 now, alhamdulillah. Which means if you wake up 15 minutes earlier and pray 2 rakats, you're considered amongst those who acted upon the verse of the Quran, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. You prayed your tahajjud. And if sleep really matters that much to you, sleep 15 minutes earlier, wake up 15 minutes earlier, you didn't lose any sleep. Act upon it. Small things like these are going to be our salvation, my dear brothers and sisters. And it's using that time that we have wisely and correctly. 15 minutes is nothing. We spent 90 minutes watching a football match. And then one final thing is the Quran. شَهْرُ رَمَدَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. It's the month of the Quran that's coming amongst us. We're on the 3rd of Rajab today, or the 2nd, depending on what calendar you follow. That means if you start reading half a Quran a day, that's 10 pages, spread it throughout your day, 2 pages of Salah, even more in the morning, more in the evening before you go to bed, 5 minutes to read 2 pages. 10 pages a day will do half a juz, which means by the time you enter Ramadan, you would have finished a Quran. A whole Quran done, alhamdulillah, just before you enter Ramadan. So at least that, even if that laziness kicks in during Ramadan, which is completely natural and Allah understands who He created, at least you would have finished the Quran leading into it. And involve your families. This is another thing I wanted to touch on just before I finish. We don't involve our families enough. Allah says, "Ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara." Save yourself and your family from the hellfire. And for us men, it's even more. We've got so much other fitna that your family can become a fitna if not treated correctly. So involve your families in these things. It's already proven. You can Google it if you want, if that's what everybody's using as their sources. Motivation and enjoyment is increased when it's done in a group activity. That's why you see team sports be such a popular thing. You're more likely to carry it out if it's locked down as well. Read the Quran, have a Quran competition. See who can pray the most tahajjud, see who can fast the most in your household. Open up a seerah book. There's plenty. If you don't know any recommendations, alhamdulillah, we have 4 or 5 ulama in this masjid. Alhamdulillah, you don't even have to travel far to find out what these sources are. Read 2 pages a day. By the end of by Ramadan starts, you'll know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what better than the example who is Uswatul Hasan? So that's the little that I came with today, and I hope it was a benefit to those. And may Allah allow us to practice everything that has been said and heard. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik wa shadu la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Please pray your sunnahs, dear brothers.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة صلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La
الحمد لله الحمد لله أكرم الذي خلق الإنسان وكرم وعلمه من البيان ما لم يعلم فسبحان الذي لا يحصى امتنانه باللسان ولا بالقلم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله الذي أوتي جوامع الكلم وكرائم الحكم ومكارم الشيم صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه النجوم طريق الأمم أما بعد فإن علم الشراء والأحكام هو أعظم فرائز الإسلام ومن ثم أمر به وحفظ عليه تعليما وتعلما فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغوا عني ولو آية وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن العلماء ورثة الأنبياء وإن الأنبياء لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما وإنما ورثوا العلم فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين ويا نجاة التائبين الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة، من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يغر إلا نفسه ولا يغر الله شيئًا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه، وفاطمة سيدة النساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم. وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم، وسلطان ظل الله في الأرض من أهان سلطان الله في الأرض أهانه الله. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. أقم الصلاة. بسم الله فول أبدا جاب. Love this place, please, brother. Right, please.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإنما العسر يسرا إنما العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
اللهم أكبر. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Through the infinite mercy and grace of Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we have established the first masjid in Najmansel in the city of Leicester. The masjid situated just off M1 waterway near First Park Shopping Center. Phase 1 was to buy the place which cost 425,000. Our project is to start phase 2 and build the new building. The total project cost is 2 million. Please donate our masjid অনলিল্লাহ কন্ট্যাক্টলেস পেমেন্ট অ্যাভেলেবল, জাজাকুমুল্লাহ খায়র। আসসালামু আলাইকুম।
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة الصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم يا رب لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا بمحمد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم انت السلام وبنك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سمعنا واطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رحمة